You're listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. This is episode number 77. Don't be a victim, or do you actively kill your career without knowing it? Really super stoked. We are launching again the Effective Statistician Leadership Program. This program is designed for statisticians to strengthen their leadership skills, to strengthen your leadership skills, so you can maximize your impact at work, even if you don't have direct reports. So to make it clear, it's about leadership, like we're talking a lot about leadership in this podcast. It's for every statistician. It's not about supervisory skills. Well, it helps supervisors, but it's not necessarily needed for to be a supervisor to benefit from this program. It's a mixture of webinars, podcasts, and moderated small group discussions where people really benefit a lot from. We had students from all kind of different areas, from pharma, from CRO, and also from academia. And with different levels of experience, more junior people, more senior people, all of them can be leaders and all benefit from this program. So this program is really helps you to get into the driver's seat of your career. And if you sometimes fall in this mentality of becoming a victim that we'll talk about since in this episode, I've been there as well. It's really, really amazing results that we have seen in the program. It enabled statisticians to start initiatives, get alignment, inspire others to get along and deliver to the end. And I've seen really, really nice results from that. So it would be awesome to have you as well in the program. You can learn more about it at theeffectivestatistician.com/course. Have a look there. There's all the details that you need to do, all the things that you need to have for discussions with your supervisor, everything. Have a look there. It would be awesome to have you. So this episode today is quite interesting one. I have seen and been involved in so many discussions about this topic, and it's a theme that comes up over and over and over again. And I have been there as well. I need to say that. I have been there as well. I'm sometimes, you know, find myself being in that mode, and I said, that's not where I want to be. And it's really, really detrimental long term. So let's talk about this in this episode. I'm chatting with Benjamin about it. This podcast is created in association with PSI, a global member organization dedicated to leading and promoting best practice and industry initiatives. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. The reduced rate for this is just £20 for non-high-income countries per year, of course, and £95 for high-income countries. Visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of the Effective Statistician, and it's another late night recording here, and as usual, I'm together with Benjamin. Hi Benjamin, how are you doing?
Hi Alexander, thanks, very well. It's vacation time, so it's really quite relaxing at the moment.
Yeah. Actually, by the time that get published, it's probably not vacation time anymore, but...
Probably next vacation time.
We always pre-record these a little bit in advance. That takes a lot of the stress out of the podcasting. So Today we are actually talking about a topic that I have been encountered on and on in my career, and I've been in this situation as well. And to be honest, when I was in this situation very early in my career, I often didn't really recognize it. So that's why I think it's really important to speak about it. And the topic today is really about being a victim and strategies for getting over it, strategies to recognize it, separate it from, let's say, some usual behavior, and what you can do to, get over it. So, Benjamin, have you been exposed to people that, you know, behave like victims, that kind of always are complaining about things?
Yes. I mean, actually, this is unfortunately a little bit standard in different ways. I mean, not all of them are about, impacting the career really, but it is quite often that people feel annoyed about, for example, compromising something, or if they feel annoyed about critics. So if you or somebody else is criticizing people, then they start getting offended and really act in a way that is, hurting somebody else, and they just feel like they're being falling down somewhere in the interaction with colleagues or with sponsors or with CROs. So I think it's quite often that people get into the role of feeling like being a victim. I mean, whether or not they are in reality a victim of something, that is a different story. But yes, I think you see this quite often.
Yeah, I think the really bad thing is about this, that it can actually spread. You know, you can, if everybody is kind of complaining and there's kind of typical, so to say, enemies, then you can even as a group fall into a victim mentality. I remember working in a team, and since there was a new starter joining this team, and, after 2 days, we were going together to lunch. And I was asking, oh, how are things going? What have you learned already? And what he was mentioning is that, what I've learned already is that the physicians are our enemies. And I thought, oh, my God. How did that happen? I think it was, because he learned that, lots of people were complaining about this other function that they were working with. And, lots of them felt like victims. And, that they were kind of treated badly or left out of discussions by physicians. And that had such an effect that, even this new starter, although he maybe hasn't even talked to a physician yet, was already feeling this victim mentality of being treated badly by this other function. And this is really kind of where it can go to if, this victim mentality is fed over and over. And I think, of course, I think we need to separate here a little bit. Yeah. So when I'm talking about victim mentality, I think I'm really talking about something that is very often done, where it's kind of a standard pattern to fall into. It's something that actually hinders you, that maybe even becomes part of your branding. So what others think about you. And that is something different than, let's say, venting from time to time in some kind of safe environment that, not everything works as you have planned it.
No, I mean, that's a good, excellent point, because I think, everyone is complaining once in a while. So complaining about whatever, I mean, other people not being able to help you or available to help you, or, about certain things about your company, about your supervisor, whatever. I mean, there are always things where you, when you sit on a, you know, somewhere with your colleagues for lunch, and then we usually you complain a little bit. So, but that's not the point. I mean, we are talking about these complaining in a way of, you know, if you feel you are treated badly, then you are usually actually, you know, you get treated badly because you step into a role where there's, it's difficult to get out again. It's the loser side, basically. So that you step into a role where you expect bad things to happen to you, and actually they come because you're just waiting for them to happen. And that is the point where it gets into a victim role.
It's really kind of that you get a kind of standard view on things happening that others would see as, well, it's not something that is dramatic. Maybe it's, you know, not bad or good, but you kind of tend to think about things happening badly. Especially that you can't really do something about it. I think that is the danger zone. There's actually some research, which is pretty famous by Martin Seligman about it, where he calls that learned helplessness. He did some research in certain socioeconomic groups, where he realized that this kind of mentality really spread like a disease. And that it had long-term impacts on all kind of different long-term life outcomes. So this kind of psychological trap that you can get into actually can have really bad follow-up things in terms of career and all kind of different things. And, you know, we are talking here just about career, but it actually can have quite dramatic effects outside of your career as well.
But how do you find out then about whether there, you know, there you are a victim or you, it's just a feeling? So is there any way where you can put up?
Well, I think, you know, of course, speaking with good colleagues, if you have people that where it's safe to talk about this, you can talk about that and get some kind of outside perspective about it. If you just want to do it privately for yourself, there's a couple of different questionnaires on the internet you can actually do in terms of self-assessment. And there's one author that writes a lot about being positive, and that one is John Gordon. He has a self-assessment about how positive you are, and actually kind of on the opposite end, it's really kind of this victim mentality. And we'll put a link to this in the show notes. But you can probably find a couple of other psychological self-questionnaires on this as well.
Yeah, and there's also like a discussion ongoing around the impact that the introvert mentality has into this victim mentality. So it seems, I wouldn't say that's correct necessarily, but you know, as a tendency, there might be also that statisticians do tend to be more introvert. So therefore, they might be are more likely have these kind of the victim mentality as well, to feel being pushed or not heard maybe. So, I mean, to be honest, I haven't experienced this to have a higher rate of victims in the group of statisticians that I work with over the last 15 years. But I think still something to consider. Yeah.
Well, of course you don't, because you just work for statisticians.
You know? Yeah, but you do have insight into other groups as well. So I think it must not have been that much of a difference. And sometimes I think statisticians are also quite good in handling situations like this, when they can also push back a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's not something that you can't overcome. Yeah. And that's, I think, the point of our episode today, to speak about it, to recognize it, to check whether you fall into this trap. Maybe you don't fall into it always, but, you know, on a regular basis. And it really comes along, at least it came along with me, with lots of frustration. Yeah. And this is kind of a, you know, vicious cycles that you get into. In terms of the discussion you are just referring to, there's this news article that was in the US news in some time ago, and it also actually comes with a questionnaire, whether you're a, so to say, complainer, in air quotes. And but I think, you know, in terms of this complaining, that also can have really negative impact in terms of the situation that you're in. So another story that I have is I went to a bigger group meeting, and we had a very, very senior person there. And that senior person was having kind of group chats with different groups. And I watched one group that was kind of complaining to that, you know, vice president or, you know, whatever title he had, so much about, you know, how difficult it is to work with another department. And they kind of spent the complete time they had with this vice president, you know, complaining about how badly they are treated by this other department. Yeah, so also kind of a little bit, you know, not a consistent complaint that it, you know, went over for a very, very long time, but it was consistent from the complete group. And it was, I think I would have kind of covered that completely differently. First, I think it's to recognize, okay, there's tension between these two functions. But then it's kind of to get over this they need to change thinking to something where you can ask your vice president, what can we actually do to better work together? Yeah, not they need to change, because we don't want to change, but they need to change, and get some advice from the supervisor in terms of what you can do, what he can do, or come up with kind of proposals how to, you know, make the situation better. What exactly do you want to make bring to your vice president or whoever senior leader you're complaining to? What exactly can he do, yeah, to improve the situation? And what advice can he share with you that you can actually actively improve the situation? So I think that's much better ways than this kind of complaining model. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure supervisors really find that a much, much easier approach than the kind of complaining type, or what do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think this comes along with the, you know, don't bring problems, but bring solutions. Thinking is kind of, you know, not the complaining is, I mean, it's sometimes again, it's fine to complain to at least start it, but before you really go into deep complaining, there should also be some thoughts around what can I do, or what can, or even the person that you're talking to. So what could he possibly do or she on solving the problem? Mm-hmm. So it's a solution based approach more than the complaining about a problem. But I mean, that's a little bit different story, but it's, I mean, in general, that is something I think that supervisors usually do appreciate if there's also not only complaints. Yeah.
And I think that is kind of where you also really get into a problem if you have this victim mentality and you're coming with complaints, of, you know, all the time. And then your supervisor may even start to get into it and you say, oh, that also doesn't work. And this can't be changed. And, you know, this doesn't work because there's this other thing. You know, and that's where, you know, the career killing effect gets into the way, you know. what supervisor really wants to spend a lot of time with someone that is, you know, constantly in this kind of mode of complaining? For some time, you surely try to coach and things like that, but I think it's pretty natural for supervisors to maybe even unconsciously draw away from these type of people because they drain so much energy.
Yeah, I think we have to, again, I think career killer is, I mean, is the extreme because, I mean, the topics that we are actually discussing is just one single point where we say this is a victim situation. So where, you know, where, for example, you work with a different department and they kind of pushing on you and do things. So it's really that we have a person. I never experienced a person that is basically 100%, like a victim in terms of, you know, just negative vibes and everything not running smoothly. It's really about the situation. So on the one side, you could be happy and smiling and having lots of positive feedback also from other sides. And on the other side, it's really you are pushed into the role of this victim. So therefore, this is really the extreme that it gets into way and also like gets, pushes you pulls your supervisor into the situation as well. So,
career killer. Okay. That's maybe a little bit too hard of a word, but you know, it can slow your career and kind of, you know, diminish you, it doesn't need to be that way.
And it's really about the point. I mean, even if it's just one single occasion or one single situation where you're in this situation, it's difficult for you. It makes your life difficult or harder. And I mean, we're all busy. We're all working hard. So it's not that, you know, it's get out of these situations. And it's what we're talking now. So things to where we can look into and actually see that there are ways or there are at least options to get out. But really, the situation is nothing that you favor and that you like, and therefore try to avoid them, try to get out of them again as soon as you can, and really see that this is not happening to you or not happening to your colleagues. Because on the other hand, you know, the cause for such a situation is usually on both sides. You know, there are always two sides of the story. So, and also then look into this and see that this is not happening to your counterparts neither.
Yeah. And just one word, you talked about colleagues and we talked about supervisors. The other piece, of course, is if you're a supervisor, dramatic effect on your team, actually, you know, if you fall into that. So, if you are a role model for victim mentality to your team, then it becomes, I think, really, really, really dangerous. So, and that could have then a, you know, an impact on the overall mood of your team and the performance of your team. So, as a supervisor, you need to be double careful about that. And I think lots of supervisors know that, but just I think as when I became supervisor and I was kind of, you know, over coffee, maybe complaining, I got much more kind of aware of what I'm actually doing and what kind of a triple down effect that can have.
Okay. So enough about the situation. So how do we get out of there, Alexander?
Okay. There's another story I have here.
Like the story.
I once read a story about Olympic race, and it was a boat race. And so, you know, there was quite heavy wind on the track. And so it was for the boats pretty difficult to maneuver in this, you know, if you think about these typical boats where they sit eight people in line behind each other, and has, you know, these are pretty shallow boats, and if you have a little bit more wind, it gets really, really, you know, difficult in the sea. There was one team, you know, that was on the most difficult lane of the sea, and they were kind of complaining and talking about it and kind of focusing so much on the wind and the negative effects it had that they completely underperformed. Yeah. So, and then there was another race where, and the next boat in exactly the same lane actually won the race. And so, the interviewers asked the team actually on, wow, you really performed very good. And despite the wind and all the kind of, the effects it has on your boat and so on. And they said, well, we just focused on what's inside the boat. In other words, on what they can control. And I think this is a really interesting mind shift. It also goes back to the discussion we had about, this group complaining to the supervisor about this other group. Rechange focus in terms of what you can actually do. And based on a couple of discussions I had over the last weeks with people, I think the area where we can actually influence and what we can actually do is usually bigger than what we think. So our influence is actually wider. Our kind of space in which we can operate is usually wider than we think. I just had recently a discussion with someone that was new to the company. He was thinking, oh, here I can't do this, and here I'm not sure. And I asked him, well, did you try? Did you speak with your supervisor about doing it? He said, no, I didn't feel I was kind of entitled to do that. And I said, well, if you don't try, if you don't ask,
you will never be entitled about it.
Not find out about your boundaries. Yeah. So, and that is kind of usually our boundaries in terms of influence are much bigger than we think. So that is the first shift that we need to take. Concentrate on what we can change. That also goes back to some kind of, this leadership thought that as a leader, you first need to change yourself. Because actually, in the whole universe, there's only one person that you can really change and control, and that's yourself. First, taking this, a step back out of the situation and thinking about what can I do differently? That's the first important step.
Yeah, I think that's something, as you said, it's a focus. I mean, usually if you complain about somebody and somebody is doing something wrong, and so you are completely focusing on away from you, basically.
Yeah.
And that is the first step. That's really the first step that you need to take, is to shift back and just focus on yourself. See what's happening, what can you do, what could you do, potentially do, and that is the starting point for getting out of the situation.
Yeah, and then the next step is really getting into action, because getting into action brings you back into control, and having control automatically gets you out of this victim mentality, because then you're in the driver's seat. We had a podcast episode about driving and kind of taking the driver's seat of your career quite some time ago. So you can go back in your podcast player to about mid-2018. There's a podcast episode about taking action. That helps you to, propel forward, take more control, get some grip. And that, gets you out of this blue zone of not feeling well and feeling like a victim. And it's really interesting. So I had recently a student in my leadership course where I talked with him about, how he experienced the course and so on. And he had exactly this kind of story where he had this mind shift from, I actually can change things, to, speaking up and then experiencing positive change and driving change forward. And that really had a interesting impact on him personally, because he was feeling much more being in control and much more satisfied with the overall job. And, you know, that really is a much better situation to be in than to be in this helpless victim mentality situation. And I'm not saying that he started with this kind of deep victim mentality, but just that he, you know, didn't realize that he could change things for the better. Taking action, driving things forward really helps you to stay in control.
I think, yeah, I mean, basically, as you already mentioned the same, but it's really about the taking the action. I mean, we are often in situations where we do feel having disadvantages, or we would like to have supervisors or other people supporting you in your escalations to really, you know, to not let it like it, you know, leave it like it is, and really push back and fight for getting it. Yeah, might help, but you know how difficult this usually is to escalate and. To work up higher and higher levels of in the company and see where, you know, where it ends, and then, you know, people really get stressed and there's a lot of effort you put in. But actually, most of the situations are really that you go back, look what you are doing, so change the perspective and then get into action and make things happening to support your way of moving forward and to take the seat again as a driver and make things happen. That's much easier, and this is a little bit misleading, these escalations. I think we touched the topic quite often on these escalations, but it's difficult, and I don't, you know, usually it's costing you more time, more effort than anything, than just look into yourself and take the action, take the driver seat again and move forward.
Yeah, in terms of escalation, I think that is especially typical in situations, you know, where there's two organizations or two functions that don't work together that well, and there's one function is blaming the other, or one organization is blaming the other for not delivering, and then escalating things instead of kind of working on a peer-to-peer basis to really solve things. And I'm completely with you. I think it's a much better approach to, you know, let your supervisor know there is something, because if there's a pattern, then he needs to know it. But then also tell them, I'll try to take care of it myself. Yep. And that gets you in a much better situation. And then also you don't appear to be a victim to your supervisor, but someone that takes responsibility and tries things forward.
And also not outside. I mean, that's also the appearance. If you escalated, you are easily pushed from, you know, in the eyes of other people into the role of a victim. Yeah. And I mean, it may be true for the moment, because you do feel like a victim, and maybe you also in the role, but that is nothing that you need to then openly share and escalate or with an escalation. So that's, I mean, it's escalation is also like an appropriate way to handle situations, but I personally think it's more effective for your personal development and for the career. If you first do the action yourself, so do the steps yourself actively, and then take escalation maybe as a second, third, whatever option to keep, but not as a first option.
In terms of taking actions, the other thing is look into the overall situation and see what does it make possible. You know, it's maybe sometimes a strange question to ask in the beginning, especially if kind of on first sight bad things happen. But sometimes, you know, out of these bad things, good things happen. So, you know, maybe you have worked hard on development plan and then your compound fails and, you know, gets trashed. Well, these things happen. But maybe, you know, then a new opportunity comes up and you can work on an even better project, or some other doors open, or you can see that as a challenge that where you can excel in and actually shine, yeah? Whereas in other situations, you would have just done standard work. And, you know, there's very different views on these situations that cause you to feel frustrated. And taking a different view can be done by just this question of what does it make possible? And that's actually not something that I found out. I learned by Michael Hyatt about this. By the way, really, really nice podcast that he's running. One thing. Another thing I learned by another podcast, unfortunately, and it's in German. and this podcast is always saying, accept it, change it, or leave it. And I think that is also a nice approach to it. So in terms of accepting it, sometimes it's just suck it up. Yeah. Maybe it's not that, you know, important. Focus on other things and keep on moving. Change it. We talked about this for quite some time. And if you really can't change it, you know, if you really feel like the grass would be greener on the other side, leave it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure, you know, as a good experienced statistician, you can find lots of different jobs. Actually, even if you're more junior, you can find lot of different jobs. So if you find yourself in, you know, you're really trapped in the organization or, you know, where you are, I'm pretty sure there's opportunities to leave the situations, usually. That's, you know, maybe the last step, but you don't need to live in this kind of difficult situation forever. Yeah.
But this doesn't, you know, it shouldn't feel like running away from the situation. So that's why be careful with the last step. If you run away, then, and you know, you didn't try the other, then it will happen to you again, the next job or whatever. So that's why, that's something about, again, mentality where you need to first clarify. And then if you still don't see a chance or light at the end of the tunnel, then leave it. Yes, but be careful not to make this a runaway from the situation.
Yeah, especially if actually you yourself is the problem. Yep. So and that's another kind of problem with this victim mentality. That is something that you would carry on with yourself from job to job to job. And I've seen, you know, persons that were in these situations and they never stayed with any company very long because, you know, any company was bad to them. And if every company is bad to you, then
maybe it's not the company.
Maybe not the company are the problems. Yeah. So, but, you know, that's about leaving it is of course taking careful considerations there. There's one other careful kind of consideration is of course not also to completely swing in the other direction. Just to mention that a little bit at the end here. So if you think that everything that is around you is due to your kind of personal things and everything that fails is due to you being, you know, not having delivered or whatsoever, and you take everything as your own responsibility, that's the complete other side of the spectrum. So that's also not helpful. So
it will kill you as well. So
in other ways. Okay, very good. So in, so to say, a summary form, really recognize it when you're complaining and overly complaining, get over it, take action, drive forward, and with this momentum, you'll get on track again. Okay, any final words from you, Benjamin?
No, I think of many final words now, so no, that's fine. No, I think it's a situation. I mean, yeah, I do have a final word. Let's say, I think it's a situation that we don't recognize as a serious problem quite often. We do feel bad. It's you know, getting into bad situations, not feeling well in certain situations or with certain colleagues or departments or other companies whatsoever. So, and that is really something where people don't even understand that this is a victim role and that there's a problem associated to it. And it may not, but may also, there's a risk of dragging you into a worse situation. And this is really a little bit to consider and to think about to get out of these situations as soon as they happen, because it might maybe too late or maybe more difficult to get out of it. And therefore, as you said, you know, move around, look at yourself, change it, and then take the action to get out of it. That does help, and just reconsider.
Okay. Thanks talking to you.
Thanks, Alexander. And
talk to you as a listener next week.
Next week. Bye.
Bye. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes and learn more about our podcast. And there you can also find all the details for the Effective Statistician Leadership Program. Just enter theeffectivestatistician.com/course and check out all the details. It would be awesome to have you. So, reach your potential. Lead great science and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.